Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tujunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Scripture we're going to be reading today is from Exodus 34, 29 through 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, with two tables of the testimony in his hand as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. And when Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel that he was commanded, the people of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses would put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. The companion text from Luke is a transfiguration, and these are called, in theological terms, these elements are called theophanies, an encounter of the holy. And Transfiguration Sunday is about a celebration of God's descent into the world. So it is in Exodus. The text is set in a mountain which has particularly holy aspects in most of the world's religions. Here it is Moses going up the mountain. Earlier he had gone up the mountain to receive the Decalogue, what we know as the Ten Commandments. Here he is again encountering God for the reaffirmation of that covenant. Moses is the mediator. From his calling in Exodus 3, he has accepted the responsibility for his people. Against his own will, God had to talk him into it. Moses, like many of us, does not feel adequate to be the mouthpiece of God, and even use the excuse, well, I just don't speak that well, to which God said, well, you have your brother Aaron, and he can help. Exodus 19, as I just stated, is the giving of the holy law. Those Ten Commandments cross time and space and culture and religion. Almost every world religion has something akin to those holy attitudes. The shining face of Moses is a representation of the power of God when encountered up close and personal. The mask is a symbol, perhaps a reminder of the need to maintain distance and perspective, awe with regard to the holy. Bill just alluded to that. Too often we want to make God our own personal God rather than awe-inspiring. This is not a story about a distant and unrepeatable event. It is a story about ongoing worship. Theophany continues yet today in praise, through liturgy and hymn, in prayer, through supplication and petition, in proclamation, the good news spoken, heard and shared, in service, the love of God acted on in real time. So part of the question the text asks us is, where do we see God in action? In a story that has absolutely no ring of truth to it whatsoever, there is this wonderful tale of a pastor who saw a lost and frail kitten up a tree in his backyard. The tree was too small for him to climb, and the kitten was too afraid to come down. So, genius that he was, he tied a rope to the tree and tied that rope to the bumper of his car and backed up ever so slowly. In his thinking, he could get the tree to bend just enough so he could reach up and pluck that frightened kitten. I don't think he was a Boy Scout. Well, as fate would have it, the tree bent beautifully, but he didn't know how to tie knots. So it let loose, and the kitty flew off into space. Frantically, he prayed and searched the neighborhood and could not find it. So in his heart, he prayed, "Oh God, I commend this creature of yours to your care. Watch over it, please." A few days later, he was at the supermarket and he saw one of his parishioners buying cat food. And he said, "You don't like cats. What are you doing buying cat food?" And she said, "Well, hear this story." She said, my daughter was just beside herself. She had to have a cat. I don't like cats. I wasn't going to have a cat. And she said, "Well, if you think that God wants you to have a cat, you pray." And she said, "So there my daughter is out in the front yard kneeling, praying that she might have a kitten." And she finishes the prayer and out flies out of the skies this cat, its paws extended, and it lands softly in front of her. Isn't that unbelievable? These things probably happen. I'm not sure that that's true, but it's just wild enough that it has the ring of truth. We make a life of faith so much about competition. We live in competition. There's a whole range of television now called reality TV that's rooted in competition, from American Idol to Top Chef to Alligator Hunters to I don't know what your favorites are, but I used to really like American Idol, and I don't watch it very much now. But the whole notion was to go from city to city to city to city and to see these people compete for a position on American Idol. In the way of faith, it's not about competition. It's about faithfulness. And it's not about who is the most gifted. It's who is the most willing to serve. Who is willing to enter into relationship with God? And it's not about wealth or fame. It's about understanding that at the end of our being, God grants us the grace to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But we make it about money or about fame or about gold medals. And the difficulty for us becomes a competition as opposed to understanding what it means to care, to be in relationship. I'm just going to ask for a show of hands, and maybe this will divide the house. How many of you actually saw some of the Super Bowl last week? Pretty fair smattering. I saw about half of it, the best half, I guess. But in the midst of that, I have this story that I tell from time to time and retell about over time and space, I've learned to deal with emotions. I never know what's going to happen. I know what I write, but sometimes it catches me differently when I'm in front of folks. And I used to become very angry when a tear would come, and then I learned to manage this. And the way I say it is, I'd become angry when I become emotional, and then I'd start to cry at dog food commercials. Well, now apparently it's even worse. I don't know whether you saw these two commercials last week at the Super Bowl. The one is a voiceover of Paul Harvey, the great newscaster, with that voice that we'd spend our money to have. And then God made a farmer. And I thought, even in death, this guy can make me cry. I hate that. It was just a wonderful thing. Now, what they were selling us was Dodge pickups. Yes, they made it commercial, but there was the connection was to something holy and relationship, and it really spoke to me. The other one that was really sweet was the Budweiser Clydesdale commercial. If you saw that, the story is really, it's endless and simple and sweet. A man raises a Clydesdale colt to become a competitive Clydesdale horse for the Budweiser Corporation. And he, I don't know whether he's at a football game or where, but the horse remembers him and hunts him down, and he has to pet it on the snoot and lead it back to where it belongs. I thought, was I the only idiot crying at that? I don't think so. The issue, even in this consumer-based society, is connection, is relationship, and is covenant. All a covenant is a contract. God said to Moses, I will be your God. Will you be my people? And the answer is, yeah, well, but it's going to take us a while to work at it. Contract is still the same. God will be our God. Will we be God's people? Forget denominations and labels. Forget that. It's rooted in relationship. And that's what covenant is. From the ridiculous to the sublime, I don't know how I get this periodical, but I get something called entertainment. And in the February 8th issue for that, there's a story about Lena Dunham. I didn't know who she was, but I thought, it's kind of interesting story, so I read it. And apparently she's an upcoming and quite famous actor, producer, director, writer on a show called Girls. No, I've not seen this. I understand that there's some raciness to it. This isn't about that. She's 26 years old, and here's the two little snippets of several thousand words. In New York City, they say you're always looking for a job, an apartment, or a boyfriend. But right now, Lena Dunham has all three. She just won a Golden Globe for her HBO comedy, Girls, which she stars, writes, executive produces, along with Jenny Connor and Judd Apatow. She recently bought her first apartment, a modest one-bedroom in Brooklyn Heights. She was thrilled by the celebrity real estate headline that read, Nicole Richie, $5 million for her home. Lena Dunham, $450,000. So she's grounded enough to know that, yeah, she's famous, but not quite that famous. The other part weaves in the experience of growing up in what some people would say privilege. Though she went to private school, her parents were and are working artists. That means if they don't work, they don't earn. The other part that near the end, it says this. It's 28 words, but this is what theophany is. This is what it means to live in holy light. She eventually wants a husband and kids and maybe a rabbit hutch in the backyard, but she'll wait to get married until her gay sister has the same right. 28 words, but she's grounded. I don't know what her faith experience is, but she's grounded in what, to her, is a holy existence. Each of us has an opportunity every day our feet hit the floor to walk through life with an understanding of what it means to live a just, a fair, a holy existence. And it doesn't start on TV, and it doesn't start in a book. It starts with the God of our heart speaking to us, urging us, challenging us to live that we might stand in a holy light. I don't know about you, there's something about this space for me and the notion of light. I first saw it at 7 p.m., June the 2nd, which would have been my father's 75th birthday. Roger was at the console, a different console, but the same musician, playing, practicing, working. And the only light was the console. And I didn't think I wanted to come here. I was fairly certain I didn't want to live in an urban setting. I stepped out what has been my study and gasped. Sue took my hand and said, "You're going to take this appointment." And I said, "Yes." Now I'm looked at as somebody who's creating a fiefdom. No, I'm not. I'm privileged and proud to serve with people who have the energy and the excitement to take risks, to invite people in. Our now retired Bishop Swenson used to talk about taking the edge to the center and the center to the edge. I wasn't sure what that meant the first time I heard it. I get it more and more every day. Look at the light in this room. Sandra talked about the artisan glass. It's all dedicated in honor and or memory of household saints. People who with their own hands took the risk to move from Lancashire and Weddington here, and then invested twice as much as they had originally signed on for to make it happen. They built this with their own hands. I can see them out there. Those who were children went back to get the nails that needed to be straightened so they could be reused. That's what contract and covenant is, beloved. Standing in the holy light gives the energy to do the impossible. Moses was human, like you and me. Human. His energy came from a holy light. May it ever be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.